Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And away we go. It is about a minute past the hour on this, the 24th day of May, 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And it's Titanic Tuesday. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Hallelujah, glory. The stream is going out without issue. I'm receiving input from the chat room where you can be too. If you've never been there before, it'd be awfully good to see you pop in there. The stream is streaming merrily along just as we would hope that it should. And, you know, it's kind of frustrating that that's surprising, but whatever. All is going as it should. And yes, good evening to Anatole, Jug of Punch, Labor Man, Little Gray, Soapbox Geezer, Texas T, Will in Chicago, there in the chat room where, like I said, you too can be. It's free as a bird, costs you nothing. Just go to headonradionetwork.com/chatroom, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and jump right in and don't be a right winger, and you'll be part of the madcap merriment and zaniness of the real time extravaganza of the conversation that takes place during the 3 hours during which the program is live. And, of course, it's all capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderators Lottie and Sparky. Sparky, of course, being a third-stage guild navigator who has folded space this evening once again to become Man Cave. You'll see him there in the chat room. And, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Yes, and this is our nightly little conversation. We try to keep it all going by raising $200 per evening. And we are, yesterday worked out nicely, and we'll try to raise $200 this evening. 10 at 20, 20 at 10. You get the idea. 40 at 5, 5 at 40, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 12.50. 32 at 6 1/4, 64 at $3.13, because we have to round up because nobody's got a half a penny laying around. Right, you get the idea. So, good evening. And if you want to be part of helping to keep all this going, you know, no challenges on the table or anything, just to straight up, you know, try to raise it as we can. Go over to headonradionetwork.com, go to the tab called Contribute, fill out all the fields except for the ones that want to know, you know, what you do down there at the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, and whether you like your shrimp boiled, baked, beaned, burnt, étouffée, whatever, and just get to the next screen. You can use credit cards, you can use PayPal, what have you. If you prefer the United States Postal Service, you can always go that route by sending a parcel, an envelope, addressed to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. And all checks and money orders should be made payable to The Horn, not Bob Kincaid, so that Boss Man Wayne can pick them up, with, hopefully without his spider-proof gloves, and deal with them as only he can. Okay, have we got that out of the way? See, it's nice when I do the fundraising thing at the beginning of the program, then don't mention it because it's all been taken care of. Okay, so there we go. Like I said, it's Titanic Tuesday. Of course, we celebrate manifestations of Titanic intellect on Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got it. Oh, yes, Lord God, we've got it. I mentioned that, or maybe I didn't mention. I was in Charleston last Friday and had occasion to actually visit a real-life, no-kidding, Target store. And it was early in the day, and it was quiet out there at Target. Target, in down in the Kanawha Valley, Target's out in the commercial zone, which is sort of south of Charleston up in the hills. And Agnes and I were walking through there, you know, broad, spacious aisles, and your Target is a little more classy than your Wally World. Mm-hmm. Weren't a lot of people in the store. Like I said, it was early. And there was nobody, and being as how it's West Virginia, I was surprised that nobody was going through there screaming or carrying on, because apparently carrying on in the name of Jesus, we could have saved this for prayer meeting Wednesday, but no, it's also a manifestation of Titanic right-wing intellect, because, you know, in the Venn diagram of good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals, and the Venn diagram of right-wing Titanic intellects, you know, those two circles, they overlap, and there's quite a bit of overlap in that, as a matter of fact. But in a way, I felt like West Virginia was falling down on the job, because we didn't have anybody in there shrieking or screeching in the name of Jesus. And this is West Virginia, and you know, we are most pious here. We are a most puissant and Christian state. But no, we didn't have any. And frankly, I was surprised, because that's turned into a thing. And you know, just like all Walmarts, all Targets look the same inside. You can't tell anything about where the thing. You know, it's all just cookie cutter. And last week we had the screaming Pentecostal lady and her weird brood, and it's become a thing. Strap in, you know, because morons. Lottie in the chat room says, "I'm not south enough. The farther you go, the crazier they are." Oh, believe me, Lottie, I'm plenty south. I mean, remember, Holly Hobby Lobby came from the Charleston area. The one who posed with a Bible and a semi-automatic rifle that looked just like a suicidal terrorist in the Middle East, almost direct overlay. Yeah, that's West. No, we're south enough. I think we're just slacking, because all the people who could be doing that, maybe a bunch of them don't have jobs anymore, because you know, they were underground coal miners and stuff, and their jobs got rationalized so that underground mining can be done away with, in favor of mountaintop removal here, and then everything go boom. Nonetheless, we have this, which includes a confrontation with a trans person. Wait a second, let me get the warning out here. Hockey puck. Lots of duct tape. So I've warned you, you take a good bite out of it. Wrap the duct tape around real good. Here we go.
Target. They let transgender people in the bathroom.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a transgender person right here.
So well, that's okay. That's okay with me. You're going to go to hell. That's what you're going to do.
You're going to
go to hell. I'm not. There's already been cases of pedophilia, people taking pictures of children in that bathroom. They're taking advantage of the rule. Kids are getting their pictures taken inside of this Target. Shame on you, Target. You know that you shouldn't let a grown man in the little kid's bathroom.
Is it just me, or if you go, because I don't go to Target that often. Target has a little kid's bathroom? Does it have little tiny urinals and little tiny potties, little tiny wash basins and little people's mirrors and those little hot air hand blowy things that are a lot closer to the floor? Don't know, Marty. Marty asks, is this a white guy or a black one? I'm guessing white guy. I'm guessing Ohio or Indiana. I don't have any information as to where this guy is. But he sounds kind of Midwestern. To me, at least. And little kids are getting their picture taken in the little kid's bathroom. Shame on you, Target. Of course, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of a bullshit assertion, but yeah. Not really, it is. For instance, helmet-headed human and proud son of Stanford University, Brian Fisher of the American Family Association. Well, he's all up in arms. Yeah, he is. Because we'll just let Brian tell you.
Now, here's what I want to talk with you about to illustrate why this is important. Let me give you, just read an email before I get into some news stories here. This is an email that Monica Cole from 1 Million Moms, that's a division of AFA, got from a mom. This is her email.
Well, if it's her email, that means something. The division of AFA, the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan, and it's all tax-free. Right. But she done got an email on Satan's interweb tubes. She done. More on the cornpone voice in a moment. Stand by.
And this is something that happened to her in Target, in a Target dressing room last Thursday. My 13-year-old daughter needed some undergarment items, so we headed to Target in Huntington Beach.
Well, Target in California, I guess that says everything now, doesn't it? It's California. And she needed some undergarment-type items. I guess she was just too puissant to say, you know, undergarment type items. Yes. And let's see what happened.
Some undergarment items. So we headed to Target in Huntington Beach. She picked up her items, then went to the dressing room. Since I was in the area and could see the entrance, I let her go in by herself.
Well, okay. You could see. Yeah, I got a good line of fire here and a good shooting rest and clear line of sight. All right, precious, go ahead into the changing. Wait a minute. Now, granted, we don't do this a lot, but Just because I'm trying to test the veracity here of these good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals. Men's, women's, children's, whatever, 13-year-olds, do you get to actually try on underwear-type items? I mean, really, gonna need some help maybe from the women people in the Horn Family Community Congregation. Can you just grab a package of Hanes Herway off the and go in and start trying on underwear items? Do you pantyhose? Can you try? What if you get a run in them unintentionally? I mean, is it Pottery Barn? You break it, you bought it. I mean, do you get to try on pantyhose, tights, underwear items? Do you get to try those on at Target or anywhere else? Because this feels a little bit like, you know, a lie. Yeah, okay, thank you. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, also known as the research department, says, no, undergarment items and bathing suits must be tried on over your clothes. Store policy. Seems like good policy, hygienic and stuff. But, I mean, and maybe this just goes to show that I'm not tapped into the zeitgeist. Maybe fundies do this. Who tries on panties? And the guys out there, who tries on boxer briefs? I mean, don't you have a pretty good idea what's going to, how that's going to, I mean, pants, a dress? Sure, they're all cut kind of different. But undergarments? We're trying them on? Is this a Scots-Irish family, the McGillicuddies you're not helping again, Lottie. Lottie in the chat room. Okay, I admit it. I tried on panties. Well, I mean, it's the lace. Because, see, the story kind of stinks. It smells like it isn't, you know, real. Because, you know, these evangelical fundamentalists will, you know, they'll make stuff up.
They're already taking pictures of children in the kids' bathroom in Target. Shame on you, Target.
Oh, that's very accepting of you, Jules, in the chat room, saying there's nothing wrong for the gents to try on the panties. Curiosity is normal. So... Yeah, okay. Carol's just taking, making, Carol wants to know, did Lottie try them on in the little kid's bathroom? What? Why do we have to talk about these things in Merca? Why does this have to be an issue? Why have we been cursed with these bizarre children of the corn, neo-Calvinist, uptight, hung-up, repressed weirdos? Well, let's find out what happened in the dressing room. And then there was a vampire. No, that's too much to hope for. I mean, is somebody barreled through the door, Brian Fisher? I mean, what?
Went to the dressing room. Since I was in the area and could see the entrance, I let her go in by herself. When I walked into the dressing room hallway a few minutes later, I heard a man's voice in where she was.
Great Scott! Great horny toads! There was a man in the... But she had... Wait. Our friend of Jesus here said she had a clear line of sight because she was in the area. You know, because I was in the area and I could... It wasn't a vampire. It was somebody with... It was a telekinetic trans person. You don't understand the power that they have. Volcanoes and earthquakes and tornadoes. But she, so she heard a man's voice.
I heard a man's voice in where she was. I screamed her name and found out she was alone. Thank you, God.
And the juniper bush brought forth juniper berries. A miracle! Thank you, God! Of course it brought forth juniper berries. It's a juniper bush. Of course she was alone! I screamed out her name. Chlamydia Jean! Come! Thank you, God, she was alone.
He was in the same dressing area, just not in the same stall.
In other words, again, another Monty Python skit, when, da-na-na, nothing happened. This is a story. This is Brian Fisher becoming Seinfeld. It's a story of nothing. It's a story where nothing happened. Thank you, God.
So she complains about this to management, and the supervisor, whoever, just points her to a sign that says family dressing room.
Seems kind of self-explanatory to me. Because see, there are under the broadest interpretation of the present hissy. There's no problem if daddy takes his daughter, because remember, we're all protecting our children. If daddy takes his daughter to the dressing room and hands her the clothing and says, go in there and try it on, sweetie, I'll be standing right outside here, which is probably what Marveline J. Christian heard in the first place. Daddy's right here. Because it's a family dressing room. It's a family dressing room. Because sometimes, and I know, I guess, in the evangelical fundamentalist amosexual world of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan, I guess daddy's supposed to be at work down to the aerospace plant, and mama with her June Cleaver hairdo and her A-line dress is supposed to be taking the kiddies to get, you know, whatever it is they need down to the department store. You know what else, Brian Fisher? Sometimes daddies, kind of got to look both ways to make sure. Sometimes daddies change their little baby girls' dighties too. They do. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes those daddies are actually trying to be helpful to the mommies or the other daddy. Because it's called parenting. Co-parenting. But not in the weird, bizarre, antediluvian world inhabited by the million moms. How curious that there aren't a million dads. No. We don't need any. Don't need any damn men people back there in the family dressing room. That ain't what God means by family. I thought it was one man and one woman. Well, not in the dressing room, damn it.
So she got no satisfaction, no help. Her 13-year-old daughter is in there, and she hears a man's voice. She thinks it's from the same stall. It could.
Because she's an idiot.
Could have been. Because Target is a policy.
It could have been, says Brian Fisher. It could have been. You know what? It could have been one of the lizard people from Norblap 9. It could have been.
Daughter is in there, and she hears a man's voice. She thinks it's from the same stall. It could have been, because Target has a policy now to let males right into the same dressing area, the same dressing rooms, same fitting rooms with your daughters.
No, they don't. There's not a line of men taking numbers to be allowed into the dressing room with some kid. Because, no, Target doesn't allow that. But these are Christians. These are fundamentalist Christians, and more than anything else, first and foremost, fundamentalist Christians are liars. Because it's the only way that they can get their way. And there he was, a-rutting on my mailer. Damn. So anyway, back to Target, where the God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, amosexual runs right up again a trans person.
Women.
No, they're not women. God made you a man or a woman.
What God?
God.
Show me God.
God.
Show me God.
God made you a woman.
Show me God.
Are you a woman or a man?
That's none of your fucking business, is it?
Oh, okay. Well, you don't even know. You're confused.
No, confused is not the same as none of your fucking business. Yeah, I'm so glad this guy doesn't have like a cornpone accent. Feel like we're just getting a little relief.
Go to Jesus Christ. Jesus, you can't touch me or I'll sue you. You can't touch me or I'll sue you.
Yeah, because he'll sue you. Because Jesus won't protect him. You can't touch me. Actually, he can use whatever reasonable force is necessary to eject you from the premises, Cletus. And so now we're going to have an ordeal just trying to get this Christian out of the damn store.
One million people have already banned Target. A million people. They've lost $1 million in money.
And I thought I had trouble ciphering. You got that? A million people have banned Target. From what? But, okay, a million people have banned Target, and therefore Target has lost $1 million. Sounds about right. That's a million people spending $1 each at Target. Of course, most of your membership down to the Acme Full Gospel Pentecostal Holiness Tabernacle Sanctuary and Herpetological Park, you couldn't find a Target with both hands and a GPS. A million people have banned Target. that Al Sue comment reached out and touched our buddy the Angry Indian. Touch me and I will sue you! The common lament of the right-wing coward, fucking punk who uses the police and the courts to buttress a fucked-up anti-human agenda, fuck him. Nope, angry, not even with yours. I ain't that weird. I don't do fundies. What am I talking about? I'm monogamous. Let's continue.
Because of this rule, turn to Jesus Christ and the Bible.
Because it sounds like he's making your life so pleasant. I mean, Jesus is working such miracles in your life there, Cletus, that you got to go and holler at an empty Target store. Kind of brings out the Hail Satan in me. I don't know about you. I mean, I'm guessing at least Satan probably, if Satan objects to a store, it's probably something better than Target. Maybe a Costco or how about Saks Fifth Avenue or Bloomingdale's? Yep, look at the glorious power of change that Jesus H. Christ has wrought in the life of this idiot.
Don't be fooled by Target. Target does not care about your children. Your children can go in that bathroom and a pedophile could dress up as a woman and take pictures of that kid. It's already happened. It's already happened in different cities of the USA.
Yeah, only it hasn't. Because, that's the thing. If you're a Christian, you can tell any kind of lie, and it's okay as long as you're helping to save some souls from the burning fires of hell. Brother Deacon Asa says, you got to give the half-wit some credit, Bob. Okay, we'll give the half-wit half credit. He probably shops at Family Dollar, so a million people is $1 million. It sounds about right. Meanwhile, Carol notes, a million people all come in for a pack of gum. Only the cheap gum, Carol. Exactly. You know, what's interesting is apparently he only starts screaming when he's at the far end of the store, so it takes forever and a damn day to get him out of there. But you'll notice that, and see, this is where there's a problem. You'll notice nobody actually calls the police on this predator, because that's what he is. He's a predator. Target is an environment which is staffed by people who are employees for purposes of selling goods to people who are invitees for business purposes. And Target has an affirmative duty not to let the invitees for business purposes be hurt. This guy is not there for business purposes. He is there for trespassing. See? Yeah. And so he goes to the far end of the store, and this is the kind of thing that the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi stand. This is the kind of stuff that they work out. You go to the far end of the store, then you start screaming, and you scream all the way out, in Jesus' name! Now, I submit that the better policy would have been to say, Stand right here, Cletus, and keep screaming. Okay? Stand right here and keep screaming until the police get here. And then you can be arrested in Jesus' name. Because he's not there for business purposes. He is illegally soliciting on private property. And there's probably no exception for soliciting for Jesus. He needed to be arrested, and he needed to have a big fine and a criminal conviction. And let the goddamn Liberty Council come and pay his fine for him, for he is being persecuted in the name of Christ.
Wake up, people!
Now, I've seen several people going through here. None of them appeared to be asleep.
It happened. It's already happened in different cities of the USA. Wake up, people. Homosexuality is not okay with God. It's an abomination unto a holy God.
We need to leave out of the store. Yeah, turn around and walk out that way. That way.
I can walk this way.
Turn around.
No, you can't.
No, I don't need to walk that way. No, I don't. Homosexuals are only 2% of the world's population, but they take up 90% of the HIV. Some safe lifestyle that is, right? Kids have been having their pictures taken in Target bathrooms by pedophiles. Because Target makes it okay for grown men to put on a dress and go in the same bathroom as your daughter. $1 million. $1 million Target has lost because of people like me that stand against this crap.
Because he had $1 million because of people like him, because he had $1 billion to spend. Carol pointing out, screamer equals closeted self-loathing homosexual. Yeah, I'd bet.
It's garbage. Homosexuals are not okay with God, but they can repent. They can turn from their sin.
And by the way, while we're at it, you might want to note, as Lottie does in the chat room, that according to the Centers for Disease Control, heterosexuals now account for the majority of HIV patients in the United States. Shh. Yeah, I know. Don't stop him. He's on a roll.
They could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was not friends with any homos.
That he knew of, maybe. Or then again, maybe he was. I mean, after all, he ran around with 12 guys. And in a culture that had boys and girls married off before they were even 20 years old, he never got married. So, you know. But what about this clown would make somebody want to follow his God? It's kind of like, what is it about watching a video of somebody lop the head off of a journalist that would make you want to become a Muslim? Yeah, not much. Nothing. I mean, if that turns you on, well, that's a problem. And if this turns you on, that's a problem too. That is, you're right, Carol. That is a lot of gum, Bob. Damn straight. That's more than any, even the, that's like several tractor trailer load pallets of the little boxes that are shrink. Oh my. Brother Deacon Asa says, it's really disturbing that these trolls don't understand that straight men can be and are pedophiles. Yeah, it is disturbing. It's very disturbing. But then again, that's why their daughters, their sons, are constantly getting raped at church. You know, by people who stand in the pulpit and deliver sermons against homosexuality. Suffer the little children to come unto me, y'all.
I'm sorry to tell you guys that. Protect your daughters. Protect your kids. This is a sick store. They let pedophiles in the bathroom. They've taken pictures of children. And you're going to give your money to this sick place. Wake up, people. Ban Target. Ban Target. This is an abomination to God. Repent of your sins. Repent. Don't put your hands on me. You can't do that. That's against the law. I could sue all three of you. I could sue all three of you. Yeah. What about the pedophiles, huh? How come little kids have had their pictures taken in that bathroom? How come there's court cases of that?
Of that thing, kind of, sort of, thing. Huh? Yeah.
How come you guys have lost over $1 million in money because of that rule of the bathroom? I'm not the only one, sir. You better stop letting these pedophiles in that bathroom. You guys...
Yeah, that's right. We won't let you go to the bathroom here, okay? And or your preacher. There. Feel better? Yeah. And now... Name one, Cletus. Name one. All these pedophiles in this bathroom. Come on, we're waiting. And now, don't put the hockey puck down. Now there's a song. There's a Target bathroom song.
Wandering through darkness that was never meant to be. Where there is no light, your people cannot see. No matter how loud it's shouted, sin is not a civil right. And calling evil good will never make it right.
You know, it's all in black and white, and there's a picture of the DSM-4, whatever that should, right, and then I mean, aren't there laws about having children work in media? Because this video includes a scene of a precious, sweet little girl walking in to a stall in the bathroom. And just as quick as she gets in the stall there, a feller comes out of the next stall and walks in, and you get this visual of her looking up and, "Golly, mister!" You know, there's a thought. Carol says, you know, maybe the big box stores should just close all the damn restrooms. That would solve the problem, wouldn't it? I mean, those things are there as a courtesy. Oh, but the dressing rooms would still be there. Well, no, okay, you can just try stuff on in front of God and everybody. You want it right. Yeah, back to the entertainment portion of the program.
Shine your light for Jesus.
And apparently, according to the visual, the way you stand up and shine your light for Jesus is you cut up your Target card, and then they tell you that there is an annual meeting of Target shareholders scheduled for June 8th, 2016, in Costa Mesa, California.
Don't bow down to anyone but him.
Don't bow down to anyone but him. Whom him? I thought that was the problem in the first place, all the bowing down. And of course, it closes with this EKG looking graph that shows Target down at the, you know, like losing money, and meanwhile the good Christians that the Walton family are just rubbing their hands together and saying, excellent. Carol noting, I have never shined my light for Jesus in the women's room because transgender women's weren't allowed in there. Angry says, didn't Trump have a performance or two at his rallies like that? No. Those were the little skeevy girls. Never mind. We have email. Steve in New York, family dressing room. So, as I understand it, this had nothing to do with transgender people. Nothing whatsoever, as a matter of fact. Jack in Shreveport writing, subject line panties. I think I might have heard where somebody said, I heard a voice that sounded like an intellectual. And then they said something about how all the university elite ivory tower intellectuals have the gay and such. Mm-hmm. Steve heard little kid bathrooms and said he's mistaking the little kid bathrooms with the little brain bathroom he goes into. Ooh, score. Very nice. Again, back in Shreveport, Jack says, I guess this asshole's going to hire Jesus to represent him in court because, you know, he wouldn't go using no damn trial lawyer. Well, there's just not a lot of trial lawyers out there that'll take that case. No, he'll probably have Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel for free, and it's all tax-free. Ron in Raleigh says, hey, Bob, tell me how these assholes keep winning. From bathroom bills to photo ID laws, these assholes keep winning. Is it that we are a country of assholes? P.S. You remember a while back when a black guy was arrested by the police after he confronted an asshole like this? Yeah, I do remember that story. We may be. We may very well be, Ron. That may be it in a nutshell. We are a nation of assholes. Meanwhile, Scott down San Diego way. Hi, Punky. This numbskull's Target restroom rant, aimed at no one in particular, stems from an unusual case of PTSD he previously suffered after encountering a B-day in a restroom once. Poor bastard. The experience popped the mainspring in his head, and he's not been the same since. And you know, when that happens, about the only place left for you is an evangelical church. Like seeks like. Water will always seek its own level. Steve asks, I'm wondering why the Beatitudes in my Bible don't say anything about transgendered people. At least I can't find it. Is that in the book of McGillicuddy or Paul's letter to the Lilliputians? Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, our other buddy, Steve. Don't look now. Jesus is in the next stall. So now the immorality play moves to the fitting room. This is some of the funniest stuff I've ever heard. How unsettling that it's not just a good comedy routine. But really, it just goes to prove a point. Americans are neurotic about plumbing restrooms, and it seems the restroom's kin. Might as well let the nutbags cross over into the erotic as well. What about those American standards in the best public facilities? God, those suckers flush like a B-52 on takeoff. They do. They do. I happened to be walking around in my local Lowe's the other day, and, you know, you just, because you, whatever you're looking for, it's always at the furthest part of the store from where you are. And I happened to notice that they had on sale a toilet that was guaranteed to flush 16 golf balls in a single flush. Now, you know me. This occasioned me to wonder aloud, why would anyone want to flush golf balls down the toilet? But, you know, it takes all kinds, right? Yeah. So there you go. Shine your light for Jesus with your panties around your ankles, girls. Boys. I wish I could help. You remember a few minutes ago when I said more on the stupid voice? You know, my stupid redneck voice. That feller. Well, lest you mistake or think that that's just me. It's just me, you know, having fun back here behind the microphone. That guy exists. Oh, yes. And you know what? I think if we had a chance to ask him, he'd probably be really upset about the potty, too. But right now, he's upset about the Iranians. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Iranians is much on his mind. I hope you didn't put down the hockey puck, you know. Well, there goes Devin, not helping some more. To flush golf balls is easy. A bull cobra is another matter entirely. All right, you earned it. You earned it. For a bowl cobra, absolutely. You don't just let it. Well, never mind. Iranians. It's been a while since we had a good, Iranian hissy, hadn't it? Yes.
To the Ayatollahs of Iran and every terrorist you enable, listen up. You might have met our fresh-faced flower child president and his weak-kneed Ivy League friends.
I told you. That guy ain't putting it on. Our fresh-faced flower child president and his Ivy League friends. Where do you think? Where do you think T-Rump went to college? Shh. Don't tell Charlie Daniels here, because it really is Charlie Daniels. Don't tell him T-Rump done went to the pen. And we don't mean the penitentiary. We meant the University of Pennsylvania, which is in your Ivy League. Mm-hmm. Shh. I wonder. Well, we can all tell by looking at the photographs. Ain't nothing fresh-faced about T-Rump. And meanwhile, of course, talking about photographs on the radio is like dancing about architecture. I get that. But have you seen the new photo of Melanoma Trump? It's not a new photo. It's not like they shot it yesterday. But it's a sort of a new old photo of Melanoma Trump. Mrs. Trump, in a bright red thong bikini, turned just ever so obliquely to the camera, standing on the wing of a jet, pointing a semi-automatic handgun into the distance. It's dandy. It really is. But never mind. Back to Charlie Daniels. I wish he was doing battle with the devil down in Georgia, but no, he's got a big old beige cowboy hat on that could probably hold 25 or 6 of his own brains, and never mind.
But you haven't met America. You haven't met the heartland, where the people will defend this nation with their bloody, calloused, bare hands. That's what it takes.
Yep. They're going to stop.
There in the heartland, we're going to stop them Iranians with our bloody, calloused, bare hands. If that's what it takes. Then again, we got a whole bunch of guns here. Lots and lots of guns, lots of ammunition. We probably won't have to use our bloody, calloused, bare hands.
You'll notice Charlie will not be one of the ones doing the defending. Oh, I had no idea. Robert up in Morgantown says, Charlie Daniels going to be at the state fair this year. Yee-haw! Hot diggity, I might have to go to the fair. That's right, Iranian Mullers. You ain't met the real Merca. The real Merca that can't read on a sixth grade reading level. You ain't met the real Merca. You ain't met the real Merca that done graduated sixth grade and can do his cipherins and his gazenters. You ain't met the real Merca, Mullers. You just seen that there Obama a sitting there a slurping that foreigner soup there in Vietnam, a spitting all over the graves of our heroes by having a bowl of soup in Vietnam.
Yeah. It, by the way, you know why Obama was in Vietnam? You know what he did while he was in Vietnam?
Yeah, he lifted a decades-old ban on selling guns to Vietnam.
And now we understand. He's going to take all our guns and give it to the VC. Now it's clear. Do you see? Do you see? We tried to warn you, Merca. He's going to grab your guns and give them all to the Vietnamese Mullers. Yeah.
Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, ironically, the mullahs in Iran offer up the exact same rhetoric.
We'll fight Merca to the last drop of blood.
Only they probably... What does redneck Farsi sound like? One can only wonder. Asa continues, these clowns don't know how much they got in common with those mullers.
You know what? Them Iranians, they ain't met Merca. They ain't. Because he's all kinds of Merca. Just you listen.
You haven't met the steel workers and the hard rock miners or the swamp folks in Cajun country who can wrestle a full-grown gator out of the water.
Because that's what you want when you're going up against your Mueller army of Iranian rednecks. Somebody can wrestle a gator out of the water. Now, we don't know how he'd be if that gator had arms long enough to be able to work the bolt on a AK-47, but they swamp people, and you know what? You ain't met the swamp people from Cajun country who can make a duck call that'll make hundreds of boy ducks think that you want to have sex with them. You ain't met them, you mullers.
You haven't met the farmers, the cowboys, the loggers, and the truck drivers. You don't know the mountain men who live off the land or the brave cops who fight the good fight in the urban war zones.
That's right. You ain't met our truckers. You don't know how pissed off a feller could get when he's gone 1,800 hard miles with a case of the hemorrhoids that would cripple God Almighty himself. You ain't met us, you mullers. And you ain't met our mountain man.
bravely riding around on four-wheelers and making sure that these women folk has brand new tanning bed bulbs every damn year. You ain't met us, you mullers! We're hard. We're hard people, mullers. You better believe it.
Did you notice that one nice little bit right there at the very end? Once we got done with the mountain men?
Brave cops who fight the good fight in the urban war zones.
Our brave cops who fight the good fight in our urban war zones. Urban war zone. Brave cops. What? I'm sorry, my universal translator is busted. Can you translate brave cops who fight the good fight in our urban war zones for me, please? Because I think I know what that means. Isn't he talking about our brave cops who gun down unarmed young black men in the streets like animals? Yeah, that's what I thought, Carol Baker. I got a note here. Urban equals wrong colored. Yes, it does. I think we've shattered a myth for the angry Indian. Poor angry says, "Damn, Mr. Daniels, I didn't know you were that much of a jerk." Oh, I did. He's been a big jerk for a long time. And angry points out, yes, the same Cajuns who smuggle in dangerous invasive species like Nile crocodiles who eat people, and provides a link and says this is real, and it is because I've seen yes. Nile crocodiles identified in South Florida, scientists say. Because they don't look like your average Florida gator. Because they got a bit of an overbite, your Nile crocodile does. Chicken Noodle News reporting, there may be a deadly new invasive species lurking in Florida's swamps. A team of scientists has identified three reptiles captured near Miami as Nile crocodiles, a species native to Africa, the continent, not a country, a continent. And really not so much native to the entire continent, but native to, you know, the Nile. Hence the name Nile Crocodile. The Nile Crocodile is the second largest extant reptile species in the world. Mm-hmm. As Chicken Noodle News points out, the study could mean that more of these man-eating creatures are lingering in the Sunshine State. You know, that's a little, I think that's a little bit sensationalist. Man-eating reptiles. It's not like they've got a taste for us. They'll eat you or me or anybody stupid enough to get within the grasp of their hungry jaws if they're feeling peckish at the moment. It's nature. Crocodiles are no different from any other predator species. They don't just, you know, lounge about laying on their on their back scales, picking their teeth with little stupid human bones, and gorging themselves. Humans are the only animals that will deliberately eat themselves into a state of senselessness, you know, just to be eaten. We're the only animals that kill just to be killing. But yeah, I get that. When last we checked in with Brother Charlie Daniels, he was extolling the virtues of our brave. Well, anyway, here we go.
The mountain men who live off the land are the brave cops who fight the good fight in the urban war zones. No, you've never met America. And you ought to pray you never do. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
Mm. the National Rifle Association is freedom's safest place. You know why? Because when they have their meetings, the National Rifle Association meets in a gun-free zone. So they probably are the safest place in America. Iran? Really? Yeah, I guess they're going to try to work that hard on up real good during the coming political season. Meanwhile, going back, Heather with a note: toilets that can take 16 golf balls. Should I go let my light shine on the toilet while I'm on it? No, it's golf balls, not Nile crocodiles. And you know, warning, those crocs will even eat assholes like Charlie Daniels. He tastes like shit, but he's but you can live on it. Ron in Raleigh asks, what the hell else do we have to sell to anyone? Talking about selling guns to Vietnam. We don't make shit anymore. We're the arms merchant to the world. Consider this. China is our largest trading partner, so we have to arm Vietnam to keep them in check. I can't wait until we elect that orange-haired buffoon to the presidency. The shit'll hit the fan just about the time they set off the fire in the crematory for me. Don't talk like that, Ron. I need you. We all need you. You too provide a measure of sanity in this lunatic emporium that we have to deal with on any given day. Meanwhile, in Shreveport, Jack writes, it almost goes without saying that one of the tough-talking, right-leaning country music blabbermouths wouldn't have ever served in the military, but I checked, and I'll say it. Charlie Daniels never served in the military. Never heard a shot fired in anger, nor will he ever fire one. But he's out there. You know, all them hard-working truckers and mountain men who can live by their wits in the hills on nothing but roots and berries and the occasional half-rotten bear that the Nile crocodile left some of. You know, they're generally not in the... Isn't our military mostly comprised of 18-year-old kids who couldn't go to college and couldn't find a job? Isn't that called the poverty draft? And you better pray you never do meet us. Somebody out there has a job writing that silly shit. Jack, time out. Okay, Jack. Okay, time out. Jack says, I think I must have missed something. Are they saying it's okay for transsexuals to go to the potty if they take golf balls with them? Say goodnight, Gracie. I bet you've got a closet full of hats, don't you, Jack? Oh, mercy. Murka. I mean, just Murka. The greatest country in the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe. God bless America, in God we trust. Amen. And once again, you know, I'll put out the call to our international listeners. Is there a website you could go to in Australia or Japan or you know, anywhere else, Germany, don't care, UK, that's just chock-a-block full of religious maniacs and terrifying gun fetishists in your country? Okay, no fair writing in from Saudi Arabia, Somalia. No. We are so screwed. You realize we really are. We're because there's enough of these people
to ruin everything nice for the rest of us. Okay, now we're into taxonomy. This will eat up the rest of the night. Robert near Morgantown says, Crocs are freshwater inhabitants, alligators are saltwater ones, if I remember right. No, that's not quite it. No, alligators live in freshwater, too. They've been found, for instance, in the estuaries of Joe Wheeler Lake up in North Alabama, where they really shouldn't be. But, you know, climate change makes it a little more tolerable for them. And it's going to be fun when they finally get up here. I'm supposedly north of the water moccasins, which was one of the reasons we kind of stood around here. Yuck. Water moccasin will make your day real interesting. No, let's see. No, water moccasin will ruin your day. Yes. Aggressive little bastards. So we are off and running on fundraising for the evening. Thank you very kindly to Robert for getting us started this evening. We've got $180 to go on fundraising tonight. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. Thank you to Charlie for chipping in. And, of course, the lines are open now. We got plenty more crazy we can go after if we want to. But the lines are open. You know the numbers, of course. The stress line is 304-663-4676. 304-663-4676. That's 663-HORN. That's how that works out. And the other number is 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178. 178. And from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, my contact is Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. So we'll take ourselves a little break, I suppose. And it being a Tuesday, that means we've got the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen coming up. So, you know, all taken. I'm just kind of looking for a likely bumper here. No, I don't want to do Charlie Daniels. Yuck. Thomas over at FYINation.com asks, are you sure that was actually written and they didn't just plagiarize Sarah Palin or Tom Cotton's Facebook page? That possibility always exists, Thomas. It always exists. Hey. Ah, come on. Nothing. I got nothing. Nah, I don't like that either. Oh, well, fiddle-dee-dee. Meanwhile, Clarence has an email. Subject line, war with Iran. Hey, Bob, I can see it now. Charlie Daniels and Ted Nugent leading the NRA division into battle. Hey, talk about leading from the rear. Yeah. Started something with the 16 golf balls, too. Scott in San Diego says, I know a guy who knows a guy who can attest to the 16 golf ball thing. He actually passed 16 Titleists. Fortunately, the gerbil managed to swim away and escape before the big flush. Oh. Oh, I didn't realize that. Carol telling me Banjo-a-Lago is flush with water moccasins. Oh, there. Yes, 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 absolutely. Oh, come on. Be there. Be there. Be there. Ah, oh, damn it. Oh, sometimes this computer. Working. Yeah. You great big dead air. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Oh, that'll work too. Yeah, why not? We'll take a break and come back. This is listener-supported conversation radio, $180 to go in fundraising for the evening. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Just need a little break. Smoke them if you got them.
It's Tuesday, May 24, 2016.
We could never have guessed the magnitude, nor the devastation of the Fort McMurray fire.
Canada's insurance industry calls for a national strategy to prepare for climate change.
He and his brothers are digging up mass graves in Karachi ahead of a potentially deadly heat wave.
Pakistan prepares for a deadly heat wave as India breaks temperature records. Portugal breaks world renewable energy record. ExxonMobil developed and squashed patents for electric cars. Plus, Trump denies climate change, but not at his own golf course.
For all of those stories straight ahead from bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
There were signs that global warming was getting worse for a long time. And back in February, instead of seeing his shadow, the groundhog just burst into flames.
Ouch. That should have been a sign. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, we haven't gotten to speak about it lately, but the massive wildfires up near the tar sands region in Canada continue.
Yep, the Fort McMurray fire is still raging out of control and is now likely to be the largest insured loss caused by wildfire in world history. Yep, you heard that right. The largest insured loss caused by wildfire in world history. Canada's insurance industry is now calling for a national disaster strategy plan. In an interview with the CBC, Insurance Bureau of Canada CEO Dan Fogeron said the nation must adequately prepare for accelerating climate change impacts.
Well, I think we would be irresponsible as an industry. I think we'd be irresponsible as a country if we ignored what's happening to our climate. And the trends are clear. So we really have to do something about it. Leadership, I think, demands that we try collectively to mitigate and create just a more resilient nation.
Now, that's not something you'll see in the U.S. corporate media.
Well, here's something they could do. Stop digging up that tar sands oil, sending it all over the world, and making the problem even worse. Why don't they start there?
That certainly is one way to deal with it. Good point. In the U.S., although the presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump calls climate change a hoax publicly on the campaign trail, privately, he's otherwise planning ahead for it. Politico reports that the Trump Organization in Ireland is seeking a permit to build a seawall to protect his seaside golf resort from rising seas and extreme storms.
Why would he do that? It's a hoax.
The permit application reportedly explicitly refers to, quote, global warming and its effects, including accelerated coastal erosion from more powerful storms.
Imagine that.
Speaking of hypocrisy, ExxonMobil. The Guardian reports on newly uncovered documents released by the Center for International Environmental Law that show the forerunner to ExxonMobil developed patents on electric cars and on technology that could have cut carbon dioxide emissions from automobile exhaust, dating as far back as the 1960s. Yet, The Guardian notes the oil industry has spent millions over the last few decades and fought publicly to squash all government funding of research into electric cars, low emissions technology, and electric car battery technology. Meanwhile, climate change continues to impact regions around the world. In India, a scorching extended heat wave is melting roads and now has officially broken the record for the highest temperature ever recorded in India, 124 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And last year, they had amazing heat waves that killed, hundreds, thousands in India?
Over 1,000 people were killed by the heat wave last year. In Pakistan, they are preparing for another deadly heat wave that has been forecast. The government is paying for laborers to dig mass graves in advance of expecting hundreds of losses.
Wow.
But some good news. India has inaugurated one of the world's biggest solar rooftop power plants. It covers 86 acres of industrial rooftops and can produce up to 11 megawatts of electricity. The nation of Portugal just broke the world record for renewable energy, running the entire nation on 100% clean renewable energy for 4 days straight. Portugal was able to meet all of its electricity demand with a combination of hydroelectric dams, solar, and wind energy.
Wow, take that, Germany.
And it's not just Portugal. Last week, the UK officially stopped using coal completely for electricity generation.
All those old Dickens stories just won't be the same.
Finally, a small craft brewery in Florida has invented a potential solution to cutting down on plastic waste in the ocean. The saltwater brewery in Delray Beach developed an edible six-pack ring for its six-packs. It's made from waste from the beer-making process, and they hope it will reduce the damage caused by plastic pollution that is often eaten by marine animals in the ocean. They say the higher cost of the edible six-pack ring will come down if more beer companies adopt their technology.
Finally, something good comes out of Florida. For much more on those stories and all the ones we couldn't get to, sorry, Florida, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
We got no troubles. Life is the bubbles under the sea.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
Under the sea.
Since life is sweet here, we got to be here naturally.
You know, back when the kids were little, they loved the fact that I could do a passing fair mimicry of the crab. What was his name? Sebastian? In The Little Mermaid. What's your father going to say? Your father going to say, I'm going to kill me a crab. That's what your father going to say. This is the horn for Titanic Tuesday, the 24th day of May, 2016. It's 25 minutes past the hour. We're almost halfway done with the program. Let's run over and check in on the stress line with Jim in Louisiana, Stan. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Bob?
What do you know, man?
I don't know if you heard about it. You probably did. I did, and I kind of forgot about it. But a great man died / passed on. Pick your favorite euphemism. We're no longer existing. Mark Lane died, I think, on May 10th. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Up in his 80s. Yeah. Did a lot of work, on the Kennedy investigation, and was a real truth seeker as far as that goes. But
I'm familiar with his name. Died at 89 years old, according to what I'm looking at here.
Yeah,
and really never gave up on the idea that we never got the straight skinny.
No, we never will. I mean, just like we'll never get the straight skinny on Hillary and her.
Daggummit!
What?
I don't know if you had noticed, but I had made it 87 minutes into this evening's program with no mention whatsoever of her or Bernie or T. Rump. I mean, okay, granted, they mentioned him on the Green News Report.
I don't know. I'm not giving up on the burn, you know, because it's not. You know,
well, I'm not either. I'm not either. But I'm just. I've got, and it's not a good sign that we're not even to June, and I've got election fatigue.
Mm.
But no. It's okay. I mean, I'm not picking on you. It's just.
I got you.
Maybe I should have announced, you know, this is going to be a Hillary, Trump, Bernie free kind of. Because, I mean, there. See, Kevin called in last night and he was talking about some of the other stuff that's going on out in the world. And believe it or not, I take that kind of stuff to heart. I don't want to just get completely consumed by this.
No, I totally can. I totally understand because it gets real frustrating. And I can veer off the weeds about that, but the elections, the voter fraud, blah blah blah. And we can talk about it till the cows come home. And if we don't put out hay for the cows, they're just going to be pissed because we don't feed them. And I totally get that. And there's so much other crap going down. How you like this opening up the door to Vietnam, huh? a new trading partner.
Yeah, our new trading, well, you know, for purposes of selling them guns. That's what that's what that was about.
What was it about? Excuse me?
No, Obama lifted a decades-long ban on America selling guns to Vietnam.
Oh, and the beautiful thing, the irony, the beautiful thing about that, I think the theme song for America should be, what's her name? Isn't it ironic? But, we were in Vietnam when French, back in the French at 80% before we ended up getting in. After they pulled out after, I forget the big loss they had. And then we were there for...
Dien Bien Phu.
Basically got, yeah. And then basically let the main, I think, reason why JFK was executed, or amongst other things, he pissed off a lot of people. But, we had to get, because we had to get our war on, because, I don't know, during the 40s, it seemed like the powers that be decided that war is good for America. And as you know, I don't know if you're pretty astute as far as the historical record goes. We've been pretty much busy. We don't stop too long without a good war, you know.
Well, and we get bored. Like, we get bored when we don't have one.
Yeah, it does seem to be that way. It's amazing.
You know, as far, where the United States of America is concerned, Jim, peace is the devil's plaything.
That reminds me of from that scene in Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Love the Bomb.
Peace is our profession.
Exactly, man. Exactly, man.
You ever seen a communist drink water, Mandrake? Vodka, that's what they drink, isn't it?
Yeah, I love Mandrake trying to talk him out of it. Why don't you just give me the code?
All we need is... That's right, Jack, that's right. All we need is a little cool water on the back of the neck of the code. A little comb and brush up and a little cool water on the back of the neck and the code. And it's just, bang!
That is a great movie, man. It's kind of one of those you can watch over and over again.
Did you talk? I love the conversation about his captive. Did you talk, Mandrake? Actually, Jack, you know, it really didn't matter. I don't think my talking was really the object of it. You know, the damn thing about it is they make such lovely cameras.
That Peter Sellers was a great actor.
Oh, yes, he was. Yes, he was. And the HBO, I mean, the HBO biofilm of him was genius. I think, who played him? Jeffrey Rush?
Yes, I think I saw that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But
Dr. Strangelove really was based on Henry Kissinger.
Well, the thing, I heard about that. When was Strangelove made? Because I was thinking it was made around 64, 65.
I thought it was like 60, it's in black and white. 60, 61, 62. I mean, we've got the internet. You know, we can ask the internet.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm not. I'm kind of lazy. Sometimes I don't think that. But the thing about that is...
1964. You were right on the first try.
Okay. Well, the thing about that was, I didn't even know, as far as me, and I haven't checked on the internet, but Kissinger only came to American consciousness, I think, in 68, 69.
Well, that's via Nixon, but he was already teaching. I've heard in the past that that it was based on Kissinger, but the stuff that I'm seeing now says that he's not. So go figure.
Well, it definitely fits him now, and you're seeing that picture of him and Hillary. I mean, it looks like she's got a girl, a woman. She's the man of her dreams. It looks like she's totally infatuated with him. With a picture, or pictures, something of, you know. My savior. You know.
Well, according to Wikipedia, he's an amalgamation of Rand Corporation strategist Herman Kahn, mathematician and Manhattan Project principal John von Neumann, Werner von Braun, and Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb.
Wow.
It says Kubrick and Sellers denied that it was based on Henry Kissinger. Sellers said Strangelove was never modeled on Kissinger. It's a popular misconception. It was always Werner von Braun. I had read or seen somewhere, you know, and that's, you know, the nature of Hollywood gossip, the exact opposite. But, you know, as it turns out, even if it wasn't, it turned out to be, you know.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like life imitating reality, or fiction imitating reality. You seem to be, I can see where you could definitely draw that analogy. But like you said, the movie was made so much earlier before he came to power. Or notice, I wouldn't think Kook Stanley would have known about him, per se, but, you know, who am I to say?
Yeah.
But it seems like we're down the same old rabbit hole, getting ready to go back into the, you think we'll be putting troops into Vietnam? Because we got to stop the Chinese, who we've been supporting for. But we need a good war. We do need another good war.
We need one we can win, you know, with nice, clearly defined enemies. I mean, this is the kind of thing that drives the Pentagon crazy. It's like it's not fair because all the war is asymmetrical now. Nobody will line up against you in nice, obvious, well-designed, well-tailored uniforms and shoot bullets at you, and you shoot bullets at them, and people back at GHQ move around little, really cool little models of tanks on great big map boards, you know, with the same kind of little sticks with right angles on them that they use to haul the dice back in at the craps table.
It's kind of like we're still in the 40s or something like that. We think that everybody should fight the way we want to.
Well,
fight.
No, I mean, No. I mean, we're trying to adjust to it. It's just that you really can't adjust to it. You can't fight a war against an enemy you can't see. And you know, we got our first real good dose of that in Vietnam. But then the Iraqis, you know, they raised it to a whole nother level. But then again, that's what you get when you know, and we're still dealing with it. That's what you get when the first thing you do after you've conquered the country is you disband their military. Oh, that was smart.
Yep.
And well, by the way, that disbanded military, yeah, a lot of them, especially the out of work generals, yeah, they turned into ISIS.
Yeah, just one smart move after another. I mean, if only it were a chess game, it would have been over. But apparently, the moves take so long to make in this chess game. I guess, yeah, people have.
But the NRA apparently wants it to be Iran, because they think. You better pray God you never meet us, son.
Yeah, good old Charlie Daniels.
Because, you know, the Iranian Mullers, they're just sitting there trying to figure out how they can mount a humongous amphibious invasion, you know, of Savannah. Or maybe New Orleans.
Yeah, well, the weird thing about that is we could be so far ahead, light years ahead of where we are if we would have just, with Vietnam, if we would have backed Ho Chi Minh, told the French to bug out, which is going to happen eventually anyway, instead of backing colonialism.
Well, and we kind of did. You know, Harry Truman refused to get sucked in, and he had an opportunity early on. Just like Harry Truman refused to get sucked into the plot against Mohammad Mossadegh, when Churchill was saying, "Yes, but of course the Wogs want to own their own oil companies, unbearable, intolerable," and then lo and behold, Eisenhower gets in and, "Oh well, yes, Winnie, my dear old friend, we've got this newfangled CIA. Let's see if they can help."
They work magic, man. If they were a corporation, they'd be bankrupt, but not the way corporations work now.
I heard the damnedest story the other day. Apparently, the The CIA has its own art museum that nobody can go to. No kidding. And they commission painters to paint heroic portraits of CIA actions, you know, fucking up all over the world. We are the CIA. Right.
But, I mean, it's self-portraits of Dulles, or?
No, it's, I mean, like, there's a big mural of the Bay of Pigs.
Done by Andy Warhol or something like that?
No, they would not, they called her Deborah, but they would not release the name of the artist because she was painting about, this is how weird and down the rabbit hole the paranoid national security state can get. They would not name the artist because the artist was painting stuff that still, she was making paintings about stuff that's still classified.
So it couldn't be the artist formerly known as Prince. I'm sorry. Okay, well, that gives me, I guess I'll just Google artist and pick one and check it out. That, who knows, I could be looking at the, well, I guess I wouldn't even be able to catch that on the internet. That artwork wouldn't be available on the internet.
No, well, they've got, it was an NPR story, so you can go to NPR and probably still look it up, and they've got a picture of the photo. They've got a photo of the portrait or something. Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, just passing on the news. A great man, in my opinion, died / passed on, no longer with us. In fact, I haven't heard anything over the quote-unquote corporate media, and I just thought it had to be noted and send it out to the...
I agree. I think it was well that you brought it up.
All right, well, I'll let somebody else get through.
All right, you take care, Jim. Bye now.
All right, you too.
Down in Louisiana, Stan, our good buddy Jim. 19 minutes before the hour. Lines are open if you want to jump in. I got some audio for you here. I suspect you're not going to like this. This is hockey puck material, but more in the way of to keep you from throwing things. The audio is actually a little bit. It's got a month or so on it, and it goes back into April. But I've never run it here, and I haven't heard a lot about it anywhere else. Maybe you have. I guess we could say that it's Big Box Store Titanic Tuesday on the horn. Oh, that's good. Carol Baker pointing out, well, soon the CIA will have a portrait of Cletus screaming in Target. You never know. You never know what the CIA is going to do. That could be a kind of a COINTELPRO kind of thing, couldn't it? Sure. But this particular story comes from a Walmart. And it's a man trying to check out and use his EBT card. Otherwise known as SNAP, otherwise known as food stamps. And he apparently has a Glenn Beck / Rush Limbaugh / Michael Savage listener / Alex Jones behind him. Yeah, really, this is hockey puck material, and, you know, just try not to throw anything.
But, you know, usually when you're raised, harder not to go back.
You know, I put in $50, $60 a week. It's been TV doing this right now. I'm trying to provide for my family. I think they're my family.
You're
not
providing for it. I am. The government is. They take it out of my check. Bullshit they don't.
Okay. Then contact your local senators and congressmen and issue a complaint. Vote Republican. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
Trust me. I am not a bleeding heart fucking liberal. That ain't
ever
gonna happen.
I don't care about you, lady. Just shut the fuck up.
I don't have to. It's a free country, remember?
I remember. It is a free country.
The least I can do is talk.
Isn't it? You're right.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hillary and Bernie supporters.
Thank you.
I don't know, that's what you just said, quote Republican.
I'm sorry, you have to deal with it.
I told you.
Not the best audio in the world, but I think you got the gist of it, didn't you?
A guy with his kid is checking out at Wally World. Wally World, which, you know, is run by a family of oligarchs who control more wealth than the majority of people in the United States have. And the young man says, there's this mouthy woman, sexist! But she is. She's mouthy. And she's just yap at this guy for using a food stamp card. And he says, I put in 50 to 60 hour weeks trying to provide for my family. And she says,
you're not providing for it. I am. The government is. They take it out of my check. Bullshit, they don't.
And I think you probably heard it. He replied and said, okay, then contact your local senator and congressman and issue a complaint. Vote Republican. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, trust me. I'm not a bleeding heart fucking liberal. That ain't gonna happen.
And then he says, I don't care about you, lady. Shut the fuck up.
I don't have to. It's a free country, remember? If I'm going to pay for all your shit, the least I can do is talk.
It is a free country, he says, isn't it?
It is for people like you, Bernie supporters.
Since we've already shattered the not talking about the presidential candidates thing this evening, I figured I'd go ahead and share that with you. Now, this woman probably doesn't have problem number one with, you know, subsidizing big oil or, you know, bailing out the banks. Oh, by the way, a penalty against Bank of America in relation to the bailout, nearly $1.3 billion penalty against Bank of America got thrown out of court. Federal court ruling that Bank of America had not committed fraud during the housing bust. This was stuff that was all related to Countrywide, which was acquired by Bank of America. They acquired Countrywide in 2008. And the U.S. Justice Department took a look at Countrywide's hustle program, in which resulted in what the U.S. Justice Department called rampant instances of fraud. And the U.S. Court of Appeals said, at most, this is an intentional breach of contract, but it was insufficient to show fraud. I'm sure this doesn't bother the lady in the checkout line at Wally World. Meanwhile, as Carol Baker points out, no, the shrieking harpy in Walmart did not pay for all his shit. She paid less than a penny for his shit, and for that, he has the right to tell her to shut the fuck up. But they're out there because they get this from Fox, they get this from Limbaugh, they get this from Savage and from Sandy Rios and Brian Fisher and Alex Jones. And really, we are, I forget who suggested it a little bit ago via email, yeah, a nation of assholes. Let's run over to the Skype line, and I think we've got Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Going good. How about you?
I'm okay. I was curious about something. The Kissinger meme that I've been hearing, does that stem from Bernie criticizing the secretary during maybe the second or third debate where she was espousing Kissinger's leadership and intellectual prowess?
She touts how awesome Kissinger is and how awesome Kissinger thinks she is in her own materials, and then she brought it up in a debate. And you know, Henry Kissinger said I was the best Secretary of State he'd ever seen.
And
but,
so
yeah.
And so Bernie pounced on that. I mean, I remember watching the debate, Todd. I went, holy Jesus, she did not just do that.
Right. Okay, that's what I'm getting at.
But then the next morning, I'm checking in on Facebook with like a bunch of a bunch of boomer types who damned well ought to know what a walking human monster Henry Kissinger, or not even human, but what a monster Kissinger is. And lo and behold, these older boomers who are now hilarians are going, well, I mean, it's not really any big deal. I mean, she just said he said she did a good job. Which is not true, Todd, because, I mean, there's photographs of them, you know, lunching.
See, that's what bothers me, is what I'm saying. Right. And see, what bothers me, exactly, like during that debate, I can't remember if it was the only, it might have been the only real quote-unquote debate that anybody's had during this whole cycle, Republican or Democrat. But there was a silence in the audience because in that same debate was when Bernie brought up Mossadegh in Iraq. And the younger people in the audience, because it was at a university, I think, and they didn't get it.
Yeah, Mossa who?
Yeah, exactly.
But by the same token, what I found out the next day was that it was also Henry who?
No, fuck that. No, can't be. Really?
Well, I mean, to a certain, it was certainly a teachable moment. But you know, that man should be occupying his own cell and be the last man in some prison in Europe.
Yeah.
And the fact, well, and I mean, you know, okay, we've gone. The fact that the hilarians are like, well, you know, it's really not a problem for me. When every one of her foreign policy solutions has been Kissinger-esque. I say we should bomb them into the Stone Age. I agree.
I mean, I'm like in the middle, like age-wise, because I was during the Nixon thing, you know, I was a kid, but I was the only child, so I was watching the news with my parents and everything, but I knew enough to know that Dude was fucked up. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, all right, you know what? You served with Nixon. He went out in disgrace. So just, you know, just bow out, write your books, get your little money, make your speeches, and shut up. But no, you had to come back just like she's doing. You know, and just be quiet. She cannot be contrite. I'm going off on it. I'm going to keep it short. But I'm going off.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Like, don't bottle it up. It's not good for you.
It's not. What the fuck is wrong with her? Why can't she be contrite? Last week when she's like, oh no, I knew she was going to do that shit. Oh no, I'm the nominee. And I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we fucking go. She cannot contain herself. Does she not understand how the political pugilism has bloodied her. She is so weak now. She can't even come up against somebody. Then, you know, she cannot come up against somebody who's got a whole book of stuff against them. But she fails to look at the larger picture. Because I'm telling you, I'm already feeling this nonsense. This make America great again. The silent majority. I'm starting to feel this shit already in South Carolina. I hate to tell you, but I was a teenager when that shit started with Reagan. I'm feeling that shit. These motherfuckers in these big ass pickup trucks and they want to run you off the road when they see what you look like in the car. Fuck that. Nah, I'm not playing that shit. It's a dangerous game that this woman is playing. She is not strong enough. Now, I once again, I'm not convinced that he's going to emerge because remember, and this is a couple of reasons, but remember, he has pissed off the Mexicans. All right. Now, there is no way you can be the president of Mexico and not be in cahoots with the cartels. I mean, this is not going to happen because, you know, they won't allow you to live. They have, you know, remember, they're a worldwide cartel. You know, they're like what Medellin cartel used to be, right? Except they're worldwide. So that's why they're being so quiet, right? They're being very quiet. Something's going to happen to Trump. Believe me, something's wrong with him. He's lost his mind, but it's not good. It's not good. Okay, I got that off my chest.
Well, I had a note from Dogman earlier from the chat room saying,
word on the street is that, you know, his brain's been ruined by syphilis. Yeah, okay.
I mean, well, do you doubt it? I mean, that's what he was doing. And, you know, if you lived in that area during the late 70s, 80s, and early 90s, you know, he was on the disco scene, you know, Studio 54, all that kind of stuff, you know, sex and disco and all that kind of stuff. And in the way he treats women, I mean, who says get on your knees? I mean, I mean, who says that?
Yeah, but reference what I said earlier. We are, there's a whole bunch of us, we're a nation of assholes, okay? We talk about our you know, our Christian values and give you the shirt off our backs, and you know, and maybe individually we'll do that. But once we get into a group dynamic, Todd, we're assholes, okay? And, I mean, I go back to what we were talking about last night. She's already down 2 points to Trump, while Bernie's still up over 10 against him. But, you know, but we will burn down the Democratic Party. We will burn down the future of the United States to satisfy her remorseless ambition.
And, okay. Well, the thing is, there's a lot of stuff about to come out, or it's been coming out, and it has nothing to do with her, it's her husband. But, you know, they're a unit, and that's the way they identified themselves to begin with when they ran, so she cannot get away from that. But there's documents that show that he's been palling around with the pedophile dude, Epstein.
I read that the other day, and you know, that wasn't... can you... no offense, Todd, can you mute whatever that is that's going bloop, bloop?
I don't hear anything.
Yeah, you're something on your Skype or your chat or something is.
Oh, maybe my chat is open. Hold on. I don't know. I don't know what. Hold on, one minute. All right, is that better?
Appears to be.
Could be. Yeah, so
maybe it was me. You know, I don't know.
Is that way better?
I said maybe it was me. I don't know. I'm.
Oh, I was talking over you. Sorry. Yeah, but see, I've been reading and hearing. You know, these rumors have been around for years, but now it appears that it's a document that show that Clinton was, you know, doing like Limbaugh did. You know, they have different standards.
Well, no, I mean, what was his name? Is it Jeffrey Epstein?
Correct. Yes.
And he ran, and there's no evidence that Bill was ever on one of his kiddie porn trips to his private island in the Bahamas, or no, in the U.S. Virgin Islands. But he flew all over the country with this guy. He flew all over the world with this guy on his private 727. And, right. and the guy is a busted pedophile.
Right.
And again, it doesn't look good. And guess what? I would say the same thing about Bernie if it turned out Bernie was on his plane.
Yeah. See, and you know, like you said, a lot of America is angry, and it's just middle America, and they're not that informed. And, you know, they dislike what this guy's saying, even though there's a lot of stuff that's going to keep coming out, but I think it's on emotion that these people are voting, and maybe they don't care.
No. They want, because there, you know, there's an authoritarian streak in the American psyche, Todd, and they want a strong man. Authoritarians prefer a strong man. I mean, if he was straight up fascist, which he pretty much is,
yeah,
there would be even more people following him, because they want somebody who is going to bring
an authoritarian order to people that they consider to be outside the mainstream. Now, Trump really doesn't give a damn about gay marriage. I mean, he's from New York. How many gay couples do you think do business in his hotels? Probably a lot. How many gay people do you think play golf or tennis at one of his facilities? A lot. He doesn't care. But he's presenting as this tough guy. And you know what? It works. It sells. And I fear that Hillary is going to be like a lamb, a single lamb among a pack of wolves with him, because she doesn't have any comebacks. I mean, that speech she gave in Detroit yesterday, she said, I mean, really, who runs a casino and loses money? Huh? Pause.
That's the best you can do, right? I mean, of course it's bad. But
and,
I mean,
well, you know, I've got long experience with dealing with men when they go off the reservation.
It's not going to float.
Well, I'm guessing she didn't earn any votes in the Native American community.
So if the GOP is not working on something, and see, a few years ago, I really believed that Scott Walker was going to be the nominee.
I did too. I mean, he had the Coke money, but it turned out he was a schmuck.
Now look.
Yeah.
You know, now look. Well, this situation, now, I don't know. This is, I mean, what are Americans thinking about? I mean, even the average American?
Look, they take him at his word, Todd. They want to make America great again, because America's not great because of all those Homer sectionals and all of those Negroes and the uppity women who are out there, you know, having abortions for fun and the gay marrying and the men in the dresses.
You know, who is this Brian Fisher asshole? Because honest to God, hello. Most normal places, if you live in a city, there's like a unisex, there's like a room, a hallway, like where the bathrooms are. And it's just a bunch of stalls. Like you go out at night, you go to a nice place, it's just a bunch of stalls. You know, men, women, whatever. You just go out, you do what you have to do. It's not a big deal. And you know what? Men do go out.
Yeah, but you gotta remember the most fevered, bizarre sexualities in America belong to the evangelicals, because they sit around thinking about all kinds of different sex that they don't get to have. And at the same time, they go, oh, and they get that full body shudder going on. Then they think, but I wonder what it's like.
What?
Sure. I mean, how many cases do there have to be of preachers getting busted, really letting their freak flag fly? I mean, I try to save this stuff for Wednesday, but I got a case here, a story. I got a story here of a Christian missionary from Texas who has now pled guilty in a United States court to sexually abusing at least 5 child orphans at the orphanage he ran in Malawi. He managed the Victory Christian Children's Home Orphanage
in Malawi, which is in the southern part of the African continent, from 1997 to 2009. During that time, he raped little children and gave money to some of them to keep them quiet.
Had to be Christian, right?
Oh, yes, he's Christian.
I'm just saying, I'm not trying to be facetious.
I mean, this dude, see, that's what I just said. They sit around and they go, oh, all this sexual deviancy, it's the devil moving them. I wonder what it feels like.
You know, I'm at a loss because I'm around these type of people, and it's like they do fucked up shit all week, and just because they go to the First Baptist Church, they think they're okay, and it's like, no, you're not okay. You're fucked up. I mean, you just fucked up. You don't see a whole lot of Democrats in Congress who have money and access and everything. I don't know if you've ever been to D.C. I was.
Oh no, I've hung out in D.C. quite a bit.
Yes, that's right. You have. And you have. And you know, and I maybe I told you this before, but I just happened to be in the Hyatt over there, the crummy Hyatt, not the good Hyatt. I was on data collection.
Yeah, I know.
And right. So you know what I'm talking about. So it was the new congressional, matter of fact, it was 2000 the before anyway, early 2000s. So anyway, the liquor stores, you know, D.C. liquor stores are like every corner anyway, but so what? Everybody drinks. But the people coming in and out, and I mean, obvious dope people coming in and out of that. And you could, Secret Service was right there. You could see them. They had the earpieces in at the top of the escalator. The shit that was going on in that hotel was unbelievable. And this is the GOP people, mostly. You know, you can tell because you could see her coming.
You talking to one? You talking about the one down there by close to Capitol Hill on New Jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a Kogal's liquor store right across the street on the corner.
Right across the street. I mean, you can stumble. You can stumble across the street. Right, that one. Yes. Exactly. Yep. And I was a little shocked. I felt a little uncomfortable. You know, I thought I partied. I was like, damn, these people are getting drunk. You could see they had half a gallon, man, just left and right. And you could see there were like, you know, people of different sexual proclivities and whatnot. You know, and well, I'm not gonna make that statement I made a few weeks ago, but yeah, they stuffed that stuff down, and it's just all, you know, they're all weird. You know, just be yourself. If that's who you are, be it. Man, nobody's judging you. Don't worry about it. Somebody's judging
you.
Oh,
but if you're an upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, people are judging you. And that's why you got to get somebody else to go to the liquor store for you, Todd.
Yeah, see, I don't subscribe to that bullshit. Fuck that.
No, but they do. I mean, their entire existence is based on lies. I mean, Jesus Christ, can you imagine what Brian Fisher's hard drive must look like?
Wait, that Brian Fisher shit, I still can't get over that. Because, I mean, it's so normal. Like I remember going into the dressing room many times with my girlfriend. She wanted me to wear skinny jeans. I'm like, I'm not wearing these jeans. I'm not wearing these. I'm not. I say, come into the dressing room with me right now.
I'm sorry.
No, seriously.
Laughing with you, not at you.
No, I know, man. Sometimes you take me too seriously. Yeah, so you know what I'm saying. So I said, no, I said, I'm not going to say your name. I said, come on in with me. And as a female salesperson, she will tell you that this shit is just fucked up. This is not, I don't feel comfortable. I don't look right. You can see everything I got. No, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, I mean, there's a word for that. It's called moose knuckle, and you ain't into it.
No, come on. We went through that when I'm in the 70s, man. You know, that was, you know, course de rigueur. You know, tight jeans. I've been, no, not doing it. We're done with that. You know? What is up with that? Anyway, I guess I don't know, man. We're in a bizarre world. This is just not making sense.
No, Todd. No, Todd. We are in the United States of America. And this is how America is. That's what we've got to get through our heads. yours, mine, and everybody's. This, you know, this really is how America is. I mean, look.
We're just fucked up.
Yes. And we are some of the most bizarrely sexually hung up people on Earth. I mean, other places, they're like, ah, you like to do it while hanging from the chandelier. Good for you. I hope you are not double parked. Right?
Yeah. Don't take too long. I gotta park my car.
But no, we get all bizarre about it because we've got, you know, a multi-century religiously hung up background about it. Okay, so I don't know that this is a sexual story. Are you in a hurry? Do you have time for a story?
No, I'm cool. I'm good.
Okay. So this story is out of West Virginia. Yesterday, the news broke that one of the more high-profile millionaire coal executives in our state had been found dead. Name was Bennett Hatfield, and of course, Hatfield is a very old name down in that neck of the woods. You know,
you're not really serious about the name, though.
Yes.
Like Hatfield and McCoy Hatfield?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that is Scott, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, his name's Bennett Hatfield. And back in 2009 or so, his wife passed away from breast cancer. Because, see, there's all kinds of toxins all over West Virginia, and even if you're rich, you don't necessarily get away from them. And she's buried in a cemetery in Mingo County, West Virginia. Which is right across the river from Martin County, Kentucky. Yeah, it's where the Hatfields and McCoys took place. So she's buried there, and at one point, somebody reported Ben Hatfield, as missing. And his phone was giving off a signal that showed he was over across the river in Kentucky. But then he checked in and said, no, I'm okay, I'm up at the cemetery, I'm cleaning up the graves and tidying up for Memorial Day. You know, people do that around here. And then the next thing you know, the news breaks that he's been found murdered in that cemetery. Okay?
Okay, I got you.
And that, you know, and that's what the information was as of, you know, last night.
Uh-oh. You're not talking. Okay.
So today the news breaks that a person has been charged in his killing. Okay, you know, maybe it's some, you know, whatever. No, it just gets real weird.
So he was murdered in the cemetery where he was not supposed to be.
Well, no, he was supposed to be. No, he was murdered in the cemetery. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The arrest that was made was of a 20-year-old young man named Anthony Arriaga.
Okay.
Of Ohio. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He was arrested about 2:00 this morning at a relative's home in Delphos, Ohio. They charged him with first-degree murder. They took him to the Allen County, Ohio jail, where he's got a choice as to whether or not he wishes to waive extradition or have an extradition hearing.
Right.
Meanwhile. The reason they found Arriaga was because he showed up at a house near the cemetery, wait for it, wearing nothing but his underwear.
Not good.
He explains to the guy, I fell in the river.
What?
because there's a river that separates Mingo and Martin County. Okay. I fell in the river by the cemetery. I got $45 if you'll drive me to Wayne County. The guy then does it. Then, because it gets weirder, Arriaga apparently in Wayne County goes to a guy named Ricky Dean Peterson's home, where he allegedly told Ricky Dean Peterson about the shooting. He's been charged with lying to police about what he knew.
Ricky Dean.
Yeah. Two other people living at the house said Arriaga was there and that he told Peterson about the shooting.
So somebody's lying. Something's not right.
Well, something stinks. I mean, it... meanwhile, Anthony Arriaga in Gibsonburg, Ohio, has no criminal history whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Police chief over there, Paul Whitaker, says the only thing we have on him is March 14th, 2009. He registered a bicycle. You know, back when he was back when he was 13 years old.
That's pretty hard to do.
Meanwhile, Ben Hatfield was the executive at International Coal Group when 13 human beings got incinerated in his Sago mine years ago.
Oh! I'm seeing a picture, Bob.
If you go to WVGazette.com, the headline is Arrests Made in Coal Company Executive's Death. There are pictures there of Anthony Arriaga and Ricky Dean Peterson.
The Gazette?
Go look at the pictures.
I'm just saying, you know, it's already looking all weird with someone who has access to resources and some guy in his underwear in a cemetery and somehow has $45.
$45 in his underwear. I guess.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, when they were transporting Ricky Dean Peterson, also 20 years old, to the regional jail, it was reported that he told the officer driving him there that he would give him valuable information if he just took him home. Now, would you care? Bob, can you make anything out of any of this, Todd?
I'm connecting dots, Bob. I'm connecting a lot of dots. Sounds like someone with means and a you know, I don't want to. Well, I mean, according to the DS, well, some people call it deviant, whatever. I don't say it's deviant, but you know, it's out of the norm sexual behavior with means, and they want to do what they want to do because they have the means, right?
Well, I hate to say it, but the first thing that came to mind for me was, I mean, and I'm using the term that the culture uses. I'm not trying to be demeaning. Rent boy?
Exactly. When you say 20 years old and, you know, sounds like a non-Anglo type person.
No, nah, he's sort of tan. He's got black hair. He's got a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a chin beard thing going on. He's got dark, soulful, hooded eyes. And meanwhile, Ricky Dean Peterson has a sort of puppy dog look about him, too.
Oh. Oh.
Meanwhile, well. And some of this is about trying to read journalism speak, okay? Like years and years ago when it wasn't okay to be gay and you'd have a guy and they'd describe another guy he was with and they would say that was his longtime companion.
Correct. Yeah, a little euphemism, you know.
Well, so here's a headline. Slain coal exec Hatfield was a complex individual.
Okay.
Let's see. He donated money to CAMC, Charleston Area Medical Center's new cancer center. He funded a sculpture in his wife, in his dead wife's honor.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Stephanie Ojeda, who was an in-house counsel, a coal company lawyer, Patriot Coal, said, he was one of the best men I ever knew and had the privilege to work for. Cecil Roberts, the international president of the United Mine Workers of America, said, our hearts and prayers are with Ben's family at this difficult time. I know he loved and cherished his family because during the lengthy negotiations in the first Patriot bankruptcy, he would always talk about them.
So this guy had like a Smithers type person?
Yeah, I don't know. How do you wind up getting killed by a 20-year-old kid in his underwear in a cemetery in Mingo County? And I mean, I don't even like talking about it, but this kind of came up as a result of this issue of what kind of people are we as Americans? And the kind of people we are as Americans is we're a whole lot of us are one thing in the daylight and another with the blinds drawn.
Well, you know what, Bob? People would have a lot better luck at kicking addictions. And, well, I the reason I brought up addictions is that if you're an addict, the first thing you have to do, people could take you to rehab all day and all night, but if you're not ready, it's not going to work, right? If you look yourself in the mirror and say, oh, I'm an alcoholic, or I'm a crackhead, or, you know, I'm an Oxycontin, you know, whatever you call it, that's difficult, right? It's very hard. Now, if people cannot do that, and they continue to just do what they do, and then they keep feeling guilty about it, your psyche gets all fucked up. I mean, you just can't keep in all that shit. You keep creating all these things in your mind, and there's nowhere for it to go. You understand? So that's, you know, I'm serious about this shit. And these folks have, you know, America has to come to grips with the fact that we are in whitelash. That's what we're in right now, is whitelash. Okay? It's amazing that this guy, Barack, got elected twice, right?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And, you know, he did the best he could do. He was not great, you know, whatever. You know, however you want to judge him, you know, whatever. But, you know, it was good for... It was amazing America could do that. But this is the... This, and I moved down south right when he got in. And I'm telling you, I could feel it. These people were angry. So there's a lot of anger, right? These people have been angry for a long time. For time long, they've been angry. You know, for, you know, almost a decade now. Then you have this woman that they've always hated. They never liked, you know, the right wing has never liked the Clintons. So, you know, they're out of their skin now. They're absolutely out of their skin. I'm trying to connect some dots here.
Keep at
so,
it.
This is where we are. And me, I've heard just a slight, just like the tip of an iceberg, just the slightest thing. And that shit you said with, honest to God, I heard you the other day talking about this asshole. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm losing it. But, yeah, anyway, this asshole. Morning Joe, with his Coke bottle glasses. He's a fucking weirdo, man. He needs to go home. What the fuck is his problem? Talking about, oh, CNN has been giving up.
When he went to work every morning with Trump branded knee pads on.
He,
practically, that's what I was going to say. He's sucking his dick every morning, man. Come on, you got stuff around your mouth, man. Shut the fuck up.
Wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you get cowbell for, come on, man, you've got stuff around your mouth. Quit it.
That was my it, man. It just came out. But he had the gall. Does he understand what he appears to be on television and for him to say that? I mean, seriously. I just couldn't believe it. And he, obviously, you know, because you wouldn't have brought it up, you know, whenever you know, a couple of days ago, whenever that was. But yeah, see, this is White Lash. And this is, it's a call. It's not just that. It's a bunch of stuff.
Oh, sure.
And then with this trans, you know, and then they had to swallow the gay thing and the gays and the military.
Right. It's more than they can bear. Because they are not prepared to live in a modern world. And they're not prepared to live in a modern world because they take their advice from a Bronze Age book, Todd. How could you be prepared to live in a modern world when you're getting advice from the Bronze Age?
Well,
I mean, that's like me getting up every morning and establishing my code of conduct from the fucking Iliad, okay?
See, I'm an Episcopalian, but I don't take that shit too seriously. Like I told you before, like I was an alkalite, I was up on the altar and everything, and I feel the spirit and all that. But you know, that's my business. I'm getting to the point where I don't think people should be able to talk about religion in public because it just causes trouble. It's fucking trouble.
Well, you know what? The people like me who talk about people like them, if they would shut up, I'd have nothing. I'd have nothing on them. If they would just get up and put their church and clothes on and go to church and come home from church and, you know, and eat the store-bought fried chicken and the Jell-O salad and the god awful mashed potatoes from KFC and say grace over it and just mind their own damn business. Those of us who have, but see that the reason we talk about them, Todd, and I'm not yelling at you, you know that. The reason we talk about them is because it is so obvious that they want to impose their weird Bronze Age belief system on those of us who want to live in the modern world. There is absolutely no negative that occurs culturally or socially from people simply being able to marry the people they love. There is no drain on society if a person rejects his male privilege and acknowledges that she is internally female in terms of mindset, spirit, whatever, and chooses to live as a woman. Or doesn't even choose. Well, it gets complicated because there's plenty of trans people out there who are living in the closet. All right? And hence the statement that people keep trying to make to these fundamentalist assholes. Look, you've been going to the restroom with trans people all your life. These good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christians, they probably are going to the restroom at their own churches with trans people every damn day.
Every day. And you know something? Remember, all these judges over the years, they were of a certain age. We heard these stories for the past few decades of judges. They go and do their court duty, and they got nothing on under the robe. You know, are they secretly think they're wearing a dress?
You know what? I got to thinking the other day. In fact, I mentioned this to Agnes. You know what? I think our judicial proceedings should be conducted naked.
I think the judge should be naked. The court reporter should be naked. I think the bailiff should be naked. I think the prosecutor should be naked. The defense lawyer should be naked. I think the accused should be naked. The jury should be naked. Because you know what? I think you would get a hell of a lot more honest result. You know, you're sitting there lying your ass off on the stand and your whole body turns red. Everybody's going to know you're lying.
Oh, God, Bob. I have to say, I told you, when you said honest, that's the first thing I thought about when you said that, because you can't get more honest than being naked.
No, I mean,
there's only, you can't. How much, I mean, you can be serious, but at the end of the day, you're going to be serious and honest.
And you know what? You want to, because Lottie in the chat room just said, Roy Moore naked. I think I'm going to be sick. And, but you know what? The Roy Moores of the world would not be judges then, would they? Because they not stand the scrutiny.
Bob, you said a mouth. I mean, you just preached, man. You just preached. That's, you know, these people, you know, and I'll be honest with you. Like, I remember when I was at the university, we had a large room. I went from private office to a large room, and I was with two women. It was me and two women. And then it was three women. But we would have these conversations, and that was when the gay marriage thing was just getting started, you know. In the early 2000s. And I had, you know, I had a problem with the label. But then I started, you know, I was like, well, whatever, you know, it doesn't affect me. And I was more concerned about insurance, because that was on the tail end of the folks who were dying of HIV, right? The guys and then their lovers or their partners, or, you know, they couldn't call them husbands or whatever, the people they were with. They couldn't even, that was the closest person, and the hospital would not let them in or, you know, tend to their business.
Oh, there and there were horror stories like that all over the country.
So, you know, we're in a strange place America is right now. And I don't know, the DNC has to clean, we have to clean out the DNC, because anytime, now Bernie is not lying, and Bernie knows what he's doing. Let everybody vote, damn it. My point is that he knows that woman has the political pugilism has beat her up, and people do not like, the more she's on stage, people do not like her. Okay, they've already said that. The more she talks, it gets worse. All right, the DNC and the rules are the rules. That's the way the rules are, but let's go to convention and let's work this out. Now, on C-SPAN this morning, there's a senator from, or a representative from Minnesota, who's already said, "Well, I'm in Bernie's camp," and it's not Ellison. I don't know who Ellison is with, but it's another guy. But you know. At some point, we have to stand up, because you can't fight the numbers. Now, and it's weird. This is like a juxtaposition, because we're supposed to be the populist party, but now the way the rules are, the GOP is the populist party, because they've had to acquiesce to Trump, even though they don't like him, right? Ostensibly.
Well, you know, populism doesn't always mean good.
No, it doesn't. Exactly.
There's an ugly proto-fascist populism, and that's what we're witnessing in the Republican Party. That's what the teabaggers were.
And by the way, I totally agree with you about the fascism thing, because a lot of folks don't remember. Remember, I was born and raised in a place called Germantown. You know, there's a lot of German ancestry all over this country, and we didn't really want to get involved with Germany. And you know, we always liked a little bit of fascism collectively, you know, but that doesn't mean it's good. You know, slavery might have been good for the economy, but that doesn't mean it was good. You know, and it's like I'm reading the state paper this morning about, here it is on the front page, you're talking about this bullshit ass TV series called Charmed about this family in Charleston, you know, they're of the leisure class. And I don't know if you've ever been to Charleston, but there it's like, you know, it's a wash in money. I mean, it's watching poverty and money, but there's, you know, all kinds
old
of Maserati,
old
dealership.
Money. Yeah.
But old money. And where the fuck do these people think that money came from? It came from free labor. You know, so don't,
you know, don't come with this stupid-ass series about, oh, well, all I have to do is lay around and drink martinis, and we go to Chili's, and I'm worried about what this girl's wearing. You know what? You wouldn't be able to do all that if your ancestors didn't have fucking slaves. So just shut the fuck up and just spend your money and be quiet. You know, and if you don't come to that realization about that, they need to talk about that shit sometimes. Like, how are you living the way you're living? You know, because that money doesn't disappear. That wealth did not disappear. Because people forget, insurance and slavery and ships, they're all related. Because the insurance industry was spawned out of protecting those slaves and ships. Because that's a lot of money. It's property, you know, quote unquote property. So, Aetna, you know, people have already done the research on this. You know, I'm not going to go into it right now because I don't have time. You don't have time. People want to call in. But people need to think about that. You know, you just can't divorce yourself of that. That's why folks say, well, I ain't had nothing to do with slavery. Well, no, you didn't, but we're all living the repercussions of that. And all this nonsense, this white lash that we're experiencing now, you know, and be honest, Obama did not do anything specifically for black people. He tried to do what he could do, I guess, you know, at the beginning. I mean, Lilly Ledbetter was his first piece of legislation he got through, and that was, you know, that was great. Are you kidding? That still has not really fully come to fruition. But I'm sorry it took up so much of your time, but I really enjoyed what you've had to say, and I hope people.
Well, I always enjoy the daylights out of our conversations, Todd. You bring a lot to the table, and you do it in a convivial fashion.
Well, thanks for letting me on your porch. I was just walking by, man, and I like your new furniture.
Well, thank you. We just brought it in from the swapping shop.
Okay.
Todd, you have yourself a good night, my friend. It's always good talking to you.
You too. Take care.
Bye now. Our buddy Todd, calling from South Carolina, Stan. I mean, the only way to explain the Trump phenomenon is to simply say there are a lot of people in this country who are assholes. Because if you hide behind something like, well, he's just saying things other people are afraid to say. Well, that just means that other people are afraid to be perceived as, you know, assholes. I mean, there is, you know, there's some stuff. Not everybody is falling in line. Most of the Republican Party is falling in line. But Katrina Jorgensen isn't. She's the chair of the Communications Committee for the Young Republican National Federation. She said, our social media accounts have already seen messages from people announcing their support of Donald Trump and invoking our organization. I cannot be part of that. No matter how loud I am in my renouncement of Trump, my title will still betray me. I want no part of a racist, fascist, hateful presidency. She continued saying, the role of the Communications Committee is to reach our members and the public with our positions in support of our parent party. Unfortunately, the RNC has decided to embrace this candidate as our standard bearer, so every press release, every tweet that does not denounce Trump will be seen as capitulating to the GOP. Good for her. Now she needs to grow a little bit more and figure out that Republican policies, well, she's young and she's pretty and she's white. And so, you know, probably Republican policies probably work for her. But she's pretty pissed off. She said, if we have instead decided to uphold a man who does not represent us or our views, a man that has belittled war heroes, explicitly stated misogynist beliefs, relied on intimidation of minorities, insulted our international allies, rewarded violence, championed divisive rhetoric, and proved completely uneducated in conservative fiscal policy, I cannot participate in that. So I guess she's going to just sort of, you know,
stay home? I don't know. It's 21 minutes before the hour on this Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. Again, thanks going out to Clarence and Robert for their help in fundraising this evening. We've got $160 to go to meet our fundraising goal for this particular evening. And if that happens between now and tomorrow, we won't have we won't have a deficit. I've become terrified of deficits. What else? Because there's a good bit. There's, in fact, you know, way too much. One of the things T. Rump is doing is he's trying to re-troll the Vince Foster business. You know why? Because he can. Because that is a paranoid fantasy of the right wing that's been around since about whenever it was that Vince Foster died. And you only get to holler about Vince Foster if Hillary Clinton's the candidate. Sorry, you really can't beat on Bernie with Vince Foster. And I feel really bad for his family. Because it's like getting the scab torn off every time it forms, and they just won't let it go. And meanwhile, I guess based on her previous statements, I guess First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton's happy about this. Today, the Obama Justice Department made an announcement in the Dylann Roof case. Unwilling to find out whether or not South Carolina intended to kill him. The Obama administration has announced that it, by God, will kill Dylann Roof. Damn Skippy. Attorney General Loretta Lynch issued a statement today saying, "The nature of the alleged crime and the resulting harm compelled this decision." So they're going to seek to horizontally crucify Dylann Roof, author of a yawning hell mouth of misery in the murders at Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston. Not much of a statement here. It just says, following the department's rigorous review process to thoroughly consider all relevant factual and legal issues, I have determined that the Justice Department will seek the death penalty. The nature of the alleged crime and the resulting harm compelled this decision. You know what? I'm not going to pretend that I'm okay with that. See, it's easy to say I oppose the death penalty in cases where somebody might be innocent. It's a hell of a lot harder when the person in question is a sure enough, no doubt, monster. But I don't like retributive murder being committed in my name. I'm either a progressive or I'm either a progressive for the working day, or I'm a sunshine progressive. Well, I prefer to be a progressive all the time. And just because Dylann Roof is a walking bag of sin, as it were. I can't get on board with murdering him in my name, your name, our name. I can't get on board with murdering him in the name of my precious little grandchildren. I can't do it. I just can't. He is facing the death penalty in South Carolina as well. I'm waiting for a statement to come out from some pettifogger in South Carolina saying, "Goddamn Obama administration's overreaching its legal responsibilities here and trampling on our state's rights here in South Carolina." I'm sure that'll happen. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. What if he wants to plead guilty, and just spend the rest of his life in some South Carolina hellhole? I don't know. I don't know how that works. What they're doing is this is insurance. Because if the prosecutor in South Carolina somehow accidentally on purpose screws up and he gets acquitted, then, I mean, cause, you know, it'd be a shame to have to send a nice white boy like that to the death room. It wouldn't be right. Because remember, he's a neo-Nazi and a Klansman and all of that stuff. It's not like he doesn't have allies down there. So this is just a little bit of insurance on the part of the federal government that in case somebody accidentally on purpose screws up the murder prosecution in South Carolina, that we, the people of the United States, trying to make that more perfect union, can get a second bite of the apple. How about you? I mean, and I say this in all sincerity. Do you want him killed? I mean, we think of ourselves here as a progressive community. You want him bumped off? Want him killed in your name? Horizontally crucified? I guess Oklahoma is having death penalty problems. A recent grand jury report, they impaneled a grand jury over the fact that in Oklahoma they can't seem to successfully kill people quickly. And that grand jury report came back recommending, and I don't know what this means, that recommending that lethal injection be abandoned in favor of nitrogen. And I, since hearing that, I haven't had a chance to look it up. Does that mean they just suck all the oxygen out of the room and pump it full of nitrogen and just watch him suffocate? Oh, that's humane. You know, whoever the he or she is that they decide to kill out in Oklahoma. Or does that mean that they just maybe take a vial full of nitrogen gas and inject it into him, you know, one big bubble? Because that seems that's merciful. Sure it is. Oh, I am just a little ray of sunshine this evening. And by the way, Rick Brofromix Santorum has endorsed T-Rump because he's worried about the Supreme Court. And Brofromix wants a guy, he wants appointments to, he wants Trump making those Supreme Court appointments because T-Rump has said he will,
He'll appoint Bill Pryor to the Supreme Court. Meanwhile, Bill Pryor, if you go have a look-see, look up Bill Pryor, nude pictures, badpuppy.com. Not making that up. Angry reminded me of that a few minutes ago. Yeah, way back when, Bill Pryor, before he ever put on the judge's robe, remember what Todd said about him being naked under that? You remember there's two different words. There's naked and naked when you speak redneck. Naked is the act of being unclothed. Naked is being unclothed and being up to something. As is written at LegalSchnauzer.com, William H. Bill Pryor's foray into gay porn probably is more substantive than anything he's done as a judge. President George W. Bush nominated the virulently homophobic Pryor to the U.S. 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in 2003, even though the Alabama Attorney General had zero experience as a judge, not even in municipal or traffic court. It was 2013, though, when Bill Pryor's connection to gay porn surfaced. It goes back to, I guess, college days. Nude photographs of federal judge Bill Pryor appeared in the 1990s on a gay pornography website, a Legal Schnauzer investigation shows. The photos appeared in 1997 on badpuppy.com, which was in its online infancy, having debuted in mid-1995. Based in Cocoa, Florida, the site has morphed into one of the largest gay porn sites on the web. Photos show Pryor posing completely nude, staring into the camera, and sporting a noticeable erection. Sources say Pryor was college age when the photos were taken. And, of course, Rick Santorum wants to make sure that man can get on the Supreme Court. All right, let's wrap it up with one last, since the theme seems to have emerged on the during the course of the program. Are we a nation of assholes? Dateline, New Haven, Connecticut. The story of a boy named Orit Avizov. Or the mother's name is Orit Avizov. Her 12-year-old boy was physically attacked and verbally threatened at school. This is the Branford Public School District. Branford Superintendent of Schools Hamlet Hernandez issued a statement to the New Haven Register saying, Branford Public Schools is committed to ensuring each school maintains a safe environment for all students. The district strongly condemns inappropriate behavior toward any student, including bullying, violence, and racial attacks. All claims of misconduct or prohibited behavior are investigated and addressed in a timely, thorough, and judicious manner by the administration and the commissioner of Major League Baseball. No, I added that part. Well, the little fellow was beat up at school. And as the boy was beating him up, he yelled, "Kill the Jew, kill the Jew, kill the Jew." The bully slammed his head into the locker, got him knocked down to the ground, and started kicking and punching him in his stomach and his ribs, yelling, "Kill the Jew, kill the Jew, kill the Jew." You make the call. Are we a nation of assholes?
And speaking of which, and I'm not going to run the audio because I might have a snack here in a little bit. I mentioned that George Nice Shooting Zim Zimmerman. Remember, that's what the right wing, that's what the right wingers said to him after he slaughtered Trayvon Martin. George Zimmerman sold his sold the pistol that he killed Trayvon Martin with for an obscene amount of money. And now he has taken to the internet, America's national sewer, to taunt Black Lives Matter. He was interviewed, God knows why, by KTNV Channel 13 Las Vegas. He said, I was tired of Hillary Clinton's anti-gun rhetoric. She's been stumping around for a false campaign for the Trayvon Martin Foundation. She lied, saying that I killed him when he was walking home in his daddy's neighborhood. Watch, if anyone watched more than 7 minutes of the trial, they would know that is false. I want all the Black Lives activists, which I think are just absolute pansies, to realize that anybody and everybody they try and hurt, all they're doing is guaranteeing I'm going to step in to make their victims' lives 10 times better than before their Black Lives Matter campaign. Then he went on to describe Eric Holder, who is no longer in the government, and Barack Obama as racists. Of course, Black Lives Matter has not killed or maimed or hurt anybody. But George Zimmerman says they are pansies. We, unfortunately, are largely a nation of assholes. Thomas with an email says, initially, subject line, do I want him killed? Talking about Dylann Roof. Initially, I wanted him to get death by cop, but instead they gave him Booger King. That's right. Murder 9 people and the cops in South Carolina will take you to Burger King. Thomas says, so now I'm more calm. I know it would just be revenge, and I don't want it done in my name. Because in the end, that's the part you have to take into account. It gets done in your name. Good word, labor man. Jagovs. Precisely. Precisely. So that's where we find ourselves at the end of this Titanic Tuesday. Prayer meeting Wednesday's tomorrow. Like I said, I got a backlog. We'll just see how that all shakes out. Thanks, everybody, for joining in the conversation. Thanks for your calls. Thanks for your emails. Thanks for just hanging out and listening, however it is that you participate in the program. Thank you. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.